Good morning, everybody. Today's May 15th, 2017, and this is Becky Speak. I want to thank you for joining us today. Today, we're going to be talking about solutions that God has for codependency. We've been talking for a few weeks on codependency and what God really says about it and how we can identify it. We ran through some tests to see if we were experiencing this in our own life or maybe knew someone else that was. And then today we'll be coming up with the solutions from God's Word on what He says to do about codependency. I'm going to open the line in prayer today, and then we will go ahead and jump right into our study time. Father God, thank you so much for an amazing day. We thank you that your love, your grace, your mercy is never ending. Lord, I thank you that you are a God of second chances, that you let us come before you each and every day, regardless if we failed, and you say, you know what, I've got hope for you. I've got a future for you, and I've got great things in store. And you're so thankful that we spend time with you. So, Father God, we just come before you and ask that you would do a new work in our head and in our hearts today, that we would have a new mindset when we leave, that we would be more encouraged and on fire to serve you and to minister in the marketplace wherever we may be. And Father God, I just thank you for your love, and I pray that you would speak through me, that I would decrease and that you would increase, Father God, and that we would feel your anointing and your power in Jesus' name. Amen. So when we look at codependency, to me, I was kind of surprised, I'll be honest with you, as how many people I was seeing over and over in my coaching practice that was experiencing, they were experiencing issues with codependency, whether someone was codependent on them, whether they were codependent on someone else, if they were in an enabling relationship, and how it all began. And so I thought, I'm going to do a study, and we'll do more of a book-type study on this. And the book I've been using is by June Hunt, and it's called Codependency. And today I want to talk about solutions because we've talked all about what it is and how it came and what we could have done and how we can prevent it in our children and those that we love and care about. But today I want to talk about God's solutions to this. You know, I believe that the primary problem with codependency is really idolatry. And that's giving a greater priority to anyone or anything other than God himself. And that's a dangerous place to be. We saw it over and over in the Word when we look at Scripture, and we think, how could the Israelites have been so foolish, right, in the wilderness? How could they have created other gods? Or how could they get involved with all these other pagan religions? And we didn't even realize that many times we're doing the exact same thing, that we're experiencing idolatry because we've lifted someone else or given them a greater priority or something else a greater priority than the place that God has asked for in our life. Our God is the one who created you, and he's got a powerful and a wonderful plan for your life, and he's the Lord who loves you and knows how to fulfill you like nothing else. We seek and we search for all kinds of other things. Many of us have a food addiction or we become workaholics or we have some other kind of alcohol addiction or whatever the other thing is that we're placing in the place of God. If you're in a codependent relationship, your excessive care causes you to compromise your convictions. Your excessive loyalty leaves you without healthy boundaries, and your excessive love allows you to say yes when you should say no. However, our Maker and our Master has the right to have primary rule in our hearts and over our lives. Any other substitute is simply idolatry. And I know that might feel a little bit harsh, but I want you to stay with me this morning, and I want you to understand that God loves us so much that he's asked for that place so that he can protect us, so that he can create the best life for us. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 6:5, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. I want you to notice two thoughts in this passage that seem to be in opposition to one another, right? If someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently, but watch yourself, or you might also be tempted. Carry each person's burdens, and in this way, you'll be able to fulfill the law of Christ. And if anyone thinks he's something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to someone else, for each one should carry his own load. That's Galatians 6, 1 and 5. So how does this contradict itself, right? In verse 2, carry each other's burden, and verse 5 says each one should carry his own load. And I think this might be where we got a little confused, and that's what the enemy does, doesn't he? He comes in and he tries to just twist it a tiny little bit. Since these are two clear-cut directives, and they seem contradictory to each other, which one is right? Which one is true? And when we carefully analyze what's being said here, we're going to realize that there really is no contradiction. Verse 1 says, gently encourage each person to change from negative behavior, but beware of your own temptation. Verse 2, the Greek word for burden is baros, which means weight, implying a load or something that's pressing heavily. When you help carry what's too heavy for someone else to bear alone, your caring response fulfills the law of Christ. And then in verse 5, the Greek word for load is portion, which means something carried. Clearly, when you carry what others should carry, you're not wise. Right? Because then you've taken all of the burden on you. You're not called by God to relieve others of their rightful responsibilities. So those who are codependent try to get their needs met by carrying loads that others should not be carrying. I'm going to repeat this because I think this is the biggest part that we get confused on. Those who are codependent try to get their needs met by carrying loads that they should not be carrying, but other people should be carrying. To move out of a codependent relationship, both individuals need to quit trying to be the other person's all in all, and instead encourage each other to take responsibility for their own lives and to live dependently on the strength of God. And isn't that when it's more fulfilling? Isn't it great when you have those moments when you think to yourself, only God? I call those my only God moments. When you look at your life or you experience something and you know it's a wink from heaven. It's where God's actually wrapped his arms around you and said, see, I've got you on this. I noticed the tiniest detail. And look, I'm showing you a physical manifestation of it. That's when I believe that my most rewarding times as a Christian have come. So I want to encourage you to take responsibility for your own life and allow others to depend on the strength of God for theirs. Now, we have a great verse that I'm going to encourage you to memorize. It tells us in the Word to hide the Word in our heart, that we won't sin against the Lord if it's truly in our heart. And I believe the best way to do that is to memorize the Scripture. Galatians 1:10 says, am I now trying to win the approval of men or God, or am I trying to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. I believe that no other verse in the Bible is better at helping us to set our priorities straight, put our relationships in the right order than this. We have to put first things first, or else we're in our relationships in an unhealthy place. We'll never have the fulfillment that God has planned for us. And there's nothing that's going to fulfill that. And we'll search and seek for it in all kinds of ways, many of them unhealthy. So let's talk about these solutions. I believe the first step to recovery from codependency is to confront your own codependency. Codependency doesn't flow from an unchangeable personality flaw or from some genetic fluke. It just simply does not. A codependent relationship is rooted in immaturity, a fact that should give great hope to those caught in its addictive cycle because it can be broken. Now, I understand that change is never easy, and I'm not even saying that it's something that you willfully chose. It might have been that you were conditioned or you grew up in that type of environment and you thought this was normal. I've got great news for you, and we've discovered it so far in this series that it's not. Change is never easy, and growing up's always within the grasp of anybody who desires to move from immaturity to maturity, and any of us can move from codependency to a healthy mutual give and take in our relationship. The key to change is motivation. Now, what kind of motivation? When your pain in the relationship is greater than your fear of abandonment. I never realized that I was overly anxious and had a fear of abandonment until a few years ago. It was after my mom had passed and I looked and I realized that my whole life I was afraid of being abandoned. My dad, when I was a little tiny girl, was in the Navy. He was actually drafted in the 60s, and he was a sailor, and I can remember how depressed and sad my mom was, and then how we would cry for days when my dad would go out to sea each time. It somewhere inside of me, that sadness turned into a fear of abandonment. And I needed to get this right with the Lord. I needed to realize that I needed to be healthier and that I needed to be motivated from a place where I wanted my relationships healthy and I would overcome the fear of that abandonment. The motivation for change became very powerful for me. Moving away from the pain of codependency becomes a matter of choice and commitment. And if you feel that the relationship you're in is more a curse than a blessing, when it brings more death to your soul than life, then that should be motivation for change. When we realize that the relationship that we're in is unhealthy, and again, it brings more death or frustration than it does life, something needs to change. Deuteronomy 30:19-20 says, I've set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him. So we have to confront the fact that we may be codependent or that we are codependent. We have to admit the truth to ourselves. And before we can be free from the grasp of codependency, we have to be honest with ourselves about our emotional addiction to another person. We have to admit the truth to someone else. Identifying the beliefs and behaviors that have perpetrated our emotional addiction, and we have to share them with an objective, trusted friend. And I want you to know that if you found yourself in this space and you consider me a trusted friend, I'd be happy to be that person for you. You can message me privately on Facebook. That's a great way to connect with me and just share with me that you believe that you have an addiction to someone else, an emotional addiction that might be unhealthy or that is unhealthy and feels or that you've identified as codependency. And then we have to admit the truth to God. We need to realize that our emotional addiction is a serious sin in the eyes of God. So I'm going to ask you right now, if you're struggling with this issue, that you choose now to confess to him, and you can just, you know, tell him, Lord, please forgive me. I'm codependent, or I've created codependent relationships in my life. James 5:16 tells us to confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. So the first step is we have to confront the fact that we are codependent. The second one is we need to confront the consequences of our codependency. We have to accept the responsibility for how our past experiences and reactions have hurt our adult relationships, such as becoming manipulative, controlling, possessive, angry. We need to accept responsibility for the pain we might have caused ourselves first, this is huge, because of the codependency, such as you're becoming jealous, envious, selfish, or obsessive. And we need to accept responsibility for the ways in which our codependency has weakened our relationship with God. Such a loss of quantity of time, quality of time, and intimacy with the Lord. Proverbs 28:13 says, he who conceals his sin doesn't prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy. Isn't that great to know that God's mercy is never ending? And if we confess to him, and we accept this responsibility, that he will forgive us. We also, as the third step, need to confront our painful emotions. Understand that you will have pain no matter what you choose. If you leave the codependent relationship, you'll hurt. But if you stay, you're going to hurt as well. However, the only hope for future healing is leaving the codependent lifestyle. We need to understand that when the intensity of the relationship diminishes, you'll experience emotional withdrawal. It's going to feel different. You're going to not be able to experience those exhilarating highs, even though they could be painful or frustrating. There's going to be an absence of that energy. And you need to understand that you'll need the support of others to get you through the initial pain of withdrawal and to help you avoid anesthetizing your pain with a secondary addiction. Proverbs 27:9 says, "Perfume and incense bring joy to the heart, and the pleasantness of one's friend springs from his earnest counsel." The next thing we need to do is we need to confront our secondary addictions, recognizing that in an effort to numb the emotional pain of the relationship, codependency often leads to other addictions, such as a chemical dependency, a sexual addiction, compulsive eating, excessive spending. I mean, you name it, whatever you've replaced that with. So recognize your secondary addictions, then seek counseling and spiritual support to overcome them. You also need to recognize that recovery from a secondary addiction is dependent on recovery from the primary addiction. Proverbs 18:15 says, "The heart of the discerning acquires knowledge, and the ears of the wise seek it out." The next step in the process is confronting your current codependent relationship. You need to acknowledge your codependent role in the relationship and cease relating through codependent patterns. So those patterns have got to be broken. And in many times, those relationships have to be severed at least for a while until you can find a healthy way to create the boundaries there. You need to acknowledge your destructive behaviors. I recommend that you write them down, then replace them with constructive behaviors and write those down. So take a piece of paper, put a line down the middle, make a distinction chart on the left-hand side. So that's by making the little T, right? Line down the middle. On the left-hand side, write all of the destructive behaviors. Then on the right-hand side, put the constructive behaviors. When you do this, you'll be able to see the exact opposite. So let's just say that you put withholding on the destructive behavior, that you withhold. On the opposite, for the constructive, you could put that you give. So it would be the opposite. Now acknowledge the natural pain of the emotional withdrawal. This is really common to the healing of addictions. And focus on God's supernatural purpose. What it is it's conforming you to the character of Christ. Romans 8:29 says, "Those who foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his son." We also need to confront your codependent focus. Isn't it true that where our mind focuses is where all of our energy goes, right? So we need to stop focusing on what the other person is doing and start focusing on what you need to do in order to become emotionally healthy. So regardless, if the other person is pushing your buttons and there becomes this tension or this strife, this energy that comes, realize that you need to focus on becoming emotionally healthy. You need to stop focusing on the other person's problems and start focusing on solving your own problems, those resulting from your neglect of people and projects in your own life. So maybe as you notice these things coming up, this would be a great place to start journaling. And just write those things that you notice that you want to do to solve problems for other people. And each time you do, say, "No, Lord, you've freed me from this addiction of codependency, and look where you can do something for yourself that's been neglected in your own life or the people that you truly are responsible for and the situations you're responsible for." You need to stop focusing on trying to change the other person and start focusing on changing yourself. We need to look in the mirror first, right? Proverbs 14:8 says, "The wisdom of the prudent is to give thought to their ways, but the folly of fools is deception." We also need to confront your codependent conflicts. Do not allow yourself to become trapped in heated arguments. This is probably the biggest place that can suck us right back into this issue. Another thing that you need to be aware of is not allowing yourself to become emotionally hooked by the bad behavior of the other person. Don't allow them to threaten you and you jump back in to help save them. Instead, say to yourself several times, I will not argue. I will not engage. I cannot be the savior for this person. And then disengage from the conflict. Decide ahead of time that when agitation begins, that you'll distance yourself. And many times you'll need to do it physically. It's not just enough to emotionally say, I'm going to distance myself. Do not defend yourself when you're unjustly blamed. Because what usually happens is an argument will start, blaming will start, the other person will start blaming you and trying to make you feel guilty. And we know that guilt and condemnation is only from the enemy. Now, I'm not saying that whoever you're in this relationship is the devil. I'm not. What I am saying is that you do not have to defend yourself because they're starting to blame. This is a response that they're just not healthy enough to take responsibility for themselves at this point in time. Instead, say only once, I'm sorry you feel that way. That doesn't reflect my heart. I want you to write that down. So when you find yourself in this situation, this is what you're going to say. Instead of defending yourself, which you're going to want to do because you're probably right. It's not going to help the situation. So what I want you to say instead is, I want you to say, I'm sorry you feel that way. That does not reflect my heart. And do not be afraid to leave if the conflict continues. Just say, you know, I'm going to be gone for a little while, and then calmly walk away. 2 Timothy 2:23 says, don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments because you know they produce quarrels. So it tells us even in the New Testament, don't get yourself involved with foolishness and arguments because it's going to produce quarrels. You're also going to need to confront your codependent responses. Remind yourself that problem people have a right to choose wrong. Don't react to their problem behavior. They are independent of you. Remind yourself not to return insult for insult and refuse to raise your voice. Remind yourself that your Christ-like role is to respond with respect, even when others are disrespectful. 1 Peter 3:9 and verses 15 and 16 say, do not repay evil for evil or insult with insult, but with blessing. Because to this you were called so that you may inherit a blessing. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against you and your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. You're also going to need to confront what you need to leave in order to receive. You need to leave your childhood and your dependent thinking, the I can't live without you thought, then enter into a healthy adulthood. I want you in my life, but if something were to happen, I could still live without you thought. That's truly reality. You need to leave your immature need to be dependent on someone else and embrace your mature need to be dependent on the Lord, who will make you whole within yourself. You need to leave your fantasy relationships, the thinking, you're my all in all, and instead nurture several balanced relationships of healthy give and take. Proverbs 27:6 says, wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. Confront your need to build mature codependent relationships. You need to establish several interdependent relationships, not just one exclusive relationship. You need mature relationships in which your codependency issues can be resolved and your needs can be met in healthy ways. You need to establish emotional balanced relationships without being needy of extreme highs and lows of codependent relationships. And establish personal boundaries in all of your relationships, saying no when you need to say no, and then holding to your no. Hebrews 6:1 says, let us go on to maturity. We have several other recovery steps in this process. That was just step number one for today. So we're going to continue this until we have the rest of the recovery steps in place. And so we've got 4 steps in total. We've got 3 more. I believe we'll be able to get this finished in the next probably week or 2 at the very, very longest. I don't want to rush the solution portion. Like I said, I've seen this in so many lives and just lives being destroyed since this has come into my awareness. And I've been able to see the Lord set so many people free through our study time together and then also as I've been working with other clients. So I want you to know that I don't want to rush this through. So we're going to take our time here. But I know the Lord has spoken to your heart. Whether you found yourself in a codependent relationship and thought these would be great solutions, or if the are for someone else that you can share them with. I want you to know that God's doing a mighty work. I see it all around me, and I know that you're seeing it in your life. So if you'll do me a favor and share with me, you can do it either on the Christian Direct Seller Facebook page, or you can send me a private message and let me know how you see God working in your life and in your relationships as a result of the freedom of the codependent relationships in your life. And the reason why I want us to do this is because it tells us in the Word that the way that we overcome the enemy is by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony and not loving our lives unto death. I believe that means that we are to take the forgiveness that the Lord gave us and gives us when he died and rose again. I believe that he wants us to do that by sharing. And then also one of those important recovery steps from today was to share that with someone else, that you realize that and acknowledge that there was an issue here, that you want to stop focusing on that, and you're going to share it, and you are going to ask forgiveness from the Lord as well. So if you'll do that for me and do that for yourself, I know that that's going to produce much fruit. And just know that next Monday we'll be back again, and we'll be doing more of our study, giving the rest of the solutions on recovering from codependency. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, I thank you so much for your love. I thank you for your grace and your mercy. I thank you for each heart that is here on the line with us live and each one listening to the recording. I thank you for the relationships in their life. I thank you for the freedom, the Holy Spirit freedom from these codependent and these destructive relationships. Lord, I thank you for the healthy lives, the healthy relationships. Lord, forgive us for the idolatry that we've put into place. Lord, I thank you that you are healing relationships, you are healing bodies, you are healing families, you are healing husband and wife relationships, you are healing relationships of parents and to children and teachers to children and aunts and uncles to children and to each other, Lord, that you are creating a healthy, healthy society and group here. Lord, I thank you that you are providing the right job for Peter. Lord, I pray that you would speed this process and Lord, that it would just be so fulfilling for him. Lord, we praise you that his mom's home and that she celebrated it before Mother's Day even. She did her mom's day on Thursday, Lord, as it was such a glorious time. I thank you for the time that we had here in the United States to celebrate our moms over the weekend, Lord. I pray you'll continue to bring comfort to those who have lost their moms, that are missing their moms even today. Lord, help us to be mindful of that. And Lord, I thank you for Tasha and Tasha's mom. Lord, and they came to the realization that she's been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. Lord, lift her from the depression. We break every curse that's been spoken over her in Jesus' name, and we claim healing, and we speak life, like we've heard about today. We speak life into her body, into every cell in her body, and into every relationship. Not just with Tasha and her mom, but every relationship for those that are listening. And Father God, I pray for Temba. You know the challenging time that he's going through, Lord. I pray that you will continue to strengthen his faith in Jesus' name. Strengthen his body. Strengthen his mind, his will, and his emotions, Lord, because you tell us that as our soul prospers, so will our body prosper. So Father God, we ask for healthy mind, will, and emotions in everyone. And Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for this week that we have to serve you and this day. Help us to make the most of it. Lord, help us to realize that we are the victor and not the victim, that we are the ones that are victorious through Christ, that we stand in the authority of Jesus right now, and we claim victory in every area and every burden on our hearts. We love you and thank you. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Make it a great week, everybody. Bye now.